I'll read starting at verse 24 of Deuteronomy chapter 2. Rise ye up and take your journey and go pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Glory to God. All right, we're talking on this idea of possessing the land that God says is ours. And this land, he wants us to take delivery of it. That group that refused to take delivery, God just canceled them out, left them in the wilderness, and got their children, and now he's going over. So I don't know about you, but whatever Jesus died to provide, I want it. Amen. Praise God. Now, God desires that you have this land. This land is representing the promised land, and he wants you to receive it. And that's all you have to do is receive. And sometimes people have a problem receiving because they don't think God loves them, or they feel guilty about something of the past, or they've been fed some unbelief and some garbage, and or whatever the case may be, they have problems receiving. But with God, all you have to do is receive. I said, with God, all you have to do is receive. And you can go through the scripture and see how many times in the Old Testament and New Testament, all they had to do is receive. Matter of fact, I'm going to look at something. Over here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, he talks about Jesus came and announced his ministry in verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and sat down, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, if you go on down, he said in verse 23, and he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me, this proverb, physician, heal thyself. That whatsoever we have heard, have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sareptah, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in that time, the time of Elias, or Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. I want you to see that, because he's making a profound statement here. Now, after that, they tried to push him off a cliff. And the reason why they did is because he insulted them in their minds. Because he told them that God had to go outside the church, I'm going to put it in my own words now, to get somebody that believed him. Man, I don't want that to be said about me. But see, to believe him is to receive him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Sometimes we talk about, well, everybody's a child of God. No, everybody's not a child of God. If you ain't saved, you are not a child of God. I don't care how famous you are in America. If you are not saved, you are not a child of God. You follow what I'm saying? And now my point to you is that God goes to his people, but his people have such unbelief. Look what he says over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, it says in verse 5, "And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folks," that one translation says, "with minor ailments, and he healed them. And he marveled because of their" what? "Unbelief. And he went around about the villages doing" what? "Teaching." And that's what's got to happen in the church. People preaching, but preaching brings inspiration. Thank God for preaching. People hear the gospel, inspired to act on this thing. But they also need some teaching. Because teaching imparts to you knowledge that gives revelation so that you can act on it by yourself. You don't want me all the time to have to lay hands on you. Lay hands on yourself. Now, and that's not a put down. I know people grow. But my point to you is God wants us to keep growing so that we can now just not only be blessed, but be a blessing to other people. Say amen to that. But I wanted you to see this, because this idea of the blessing that we're talking about now is a part of your inheritance. Look at again at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. I'm not going to start at verse 11. You can start there, but let's start at verse 12. "And he said this, and sang with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength, honor, glory,'" and what else? "Blessing." Now we said the word blessing comes from the root word bless, which is the Hebrew word barak. And that word barak has to do with the power and empowerment for success. Now it doesn't make any difference what area you're talking about being successful in, that blessing is on you to bring success in your life. So you might have your own business, you might be working for someone, you might be whatever you do in education, in politics, in arts and entertainment, makes no difference. Whatever you do, you're going to be successful. And you're going to stand out. All right, let's look at it. Let's look at that blessing now. It was on Abraham. We talk about the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is the same as the blessing of Adam, the blessing that was in Eden. We call it the Eden blessing. That's what he put on Adam. What did he put on Adam for? Because Adam was supposed to continue the work that God started in the earth. But he needed God's empowerment to do it. It's called the blessing. Now, that blessing of Abraham, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, or 14, has come on the Gentiles. So that way, up until that time, we weren't under the blessing, but now we're under that blessing. Now, how do we get there? By believing on Jesus Christ. Once you believe on Jesus Christ, the curse is canceled in your life and the blessing is in your life. Now, whatever you don't resist is allowed to remain. So you got to resist the devil. You got to get, because the blessing is there, and the blessing and the curse do not exist at the same time. Either in your life you are blessed or something else is happening. So my point to you is, if God says you bless, you're what?
Blessed.
You're blessed. Praise God. And not cursed. You're blessed. So when we're talking about this blessing, we have to receive it by faith. So we talked about Jacob and how Jacob had to receive it by faith. He ran into his dad. He posed himself as his brother Esau, and his dad went ahead and blessed him. Once he blessed him, Jacob got the blessing and ran out of there. Now here comes Esau ready for the blessing. The dad says, what, wait a minute, I just blessed you. No, you didn't. He said, well, I blessed somebody. He said, you didn't bless me. That was that trickster Jacob, and you blessed him. Well, he said, I'm going to kill him. Well, that's too late, because you can't kill a man with a blessing. If the man's got the blessing on him. Now, we're going to pick up from there in Job, because that's where we left off last time. But the idea about it is that blessing puts up a wall around you. Now, it puts up a wall. Now, I'm going to show you this, and you got to believe your man of God. I'm going to read it right out of the text. All you got to do, if you don't believe me, believe the Bible. Praise God. All right. Now, it's empowerment for success. So no matter what you're doing, you're going to be successful at it. Now, once Jacob got it, Jacob now is off and he's running with that blessing. Now it says in Genesis chapter 28, and he starts reading here at verse 1, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take of a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Padan-Aram unto the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. The same thing he's saying to Abraham. And give thee the blessing of who? Abraham. Say, I have the blessing of Abraham all my life. Say, the blessing of the Lord is on my life. To thee and thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land which thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. In other words, you're going to inherit everything that the heathen have. Okay? This is the transfer. All right. Now, what happens here is he goes to work for Laban, but Laban tricks him. And Laban said, I tell you what, you want to have my daughter in marriage, but if you will work for me for 7 years, I'll give her to you. Okay? So that's what he began to do. And when he did it, Laban tricked him. He pushed the other daughter in the tent. Ah, boy. I want to mess with that so bad. But in the essence of time, I'll let her go. All right. Now, what happens? He said he worked for him for 7 more years. All right. Let's just deal with something for a moment, because I want to make sure this point is clear. And this point has got to do with debt. It's got to do with debt. All right. Now understand, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, they're coming out of Egypt. They've been in the wilderness and now they're going into Canaan. So these people, the last organized thing that they saw was Pharaoh, and they were under bondage. But now they're coming out. Now God is telling them some things, and he's telling them some things about their life and how they're to live and so forth. Now, one of the things God is saying is he's going to take them out of debt, that they'll no longer be the borrower, but they're going to be the lenders. Say amen to this.
Amen.
All right. All right. This thing is awesome, man. I'm telling you. All right. Let's first look at Genesis chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3. All right. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at that in two translations. In the King James, it says, and I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'm going to bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Put it up there, please, in the Amplified Translation. Let's just see what it says, starting at verse 2. In the Amplified Translation, he says, and I'll make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished. Say, make my name, famous and distinguished. And you will be a blessing, dispensing goods to others. Let's just stop right there. All right. So God is telling them that this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bless you, make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. I'm going to make you famous and I'm going to make you distinguished. All right, now let's look at this same thing over in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1 and 2. All right, watch this. I'm confirming these scriptures to you. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Am I right about that? All right, so all they have to do to get these blessings to come on them and overtake them is what? That's kind of weak. All they got to do is do what God says. Am I right about it? That is all they have to do. Now, God is saying something in the CEV translation. I don't know whether they got that loaded up back there, but I'll give you the CEV translation of that same. Did they get it loaded? No. Okay. And here's what it says. Today I'm giving you the laws and teachings of the Lord your God. Always obey them. Glory to God. And the Lord will make Israel the most famous and important nation on earth. You missed a good place to shout. And he will bless you in many ways. He said, I'm going to make you the most famous and important nation on earth. Man, that meant something to me. Now, notice what he said also, if you look at Deuteronomy and chapter 28, and look at verses 12 and 13 in, well, let's look at that in the King James first. Now, I'm doing all your breaking down for you. See, you ought to be at home studying this out, but I'm studying it out, giving it to you free of charge. All right, look what he said. And the Lord shall open unto you a good treasure in treasure, the heavens, to give you rain in your land in his season. And to bless how much of the work of your hand? All the work of your hand. And thou shalt what? Lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Now let's take that. Okay. And the Lord shall make thee the what? Head and not the tail. The lender, above only, and not shall not be beneath, if thou wilt hearken to the voice of commandments of the Lord. Put that same 12 and 13 up there, please, in the New Living. I think you have the Living Translation. And put it up there in that, please, if you can find that. The Lord will send rain at the proper time. It's hard to read it from here. At the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens, and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. Are you following what I'm saying? See, what has happened? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 15, please. Glory to God. Come on, y'all got to move with me. All right? And look at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Now let's look at those two verses in the Message translation, please. He said this: at the end of every seventh year, cancel all debt. This is the procedure. Everyone who has lent money to a neighbor writes it off. You must not press your neighbor or his brother for payment. All debts are canceled. God said so. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Glory to God. I got to get that CIV loaded back there, Doc, because you all need to have that. Okay, dude, just a minute. Okay. Let me see, Deuteronomy chapter, what did I say, 15? Okay, and verse 6. Let's look at verse 6. Okay. Just a minute. Put me down there. All right, here's what it says. Starting at verse 4. No one in Israel should ever be poor. No one in Living Word Christian Center should ever be poor. Now, folks, if you look up these other translations, it'll reel you right on in. See, borrowing is not a sin. But what it causes is people to have to mortgage their future for a debt. And God promised you that you would be in the land of abundance. That you'd have so much you won't need to borrow. Stay with me now. Now, the reason why I went back to that is because all of this is based on you hearing the voice of the Lord. This is all based on you hearing the voice of the Lord. Well, how are you going to hear the voice of the Lord? All right. Let me whip through some things here because I think this is something you need to know. All right. What happened to Adam? Because I want you to pick up on this because think about it. If you are hearing his voice and do what he says, all his blessings are going to come on you and overtake you. Now, if those blessings are not on you and overtaking you, it's because something is wrong. And I'm going to chip away at what's wrong because God has called you to be rich. Now, right away, somebody is going to look at me and say, oh, he's talking about money. Well, get somebody dirt poor and come in here and see how well they receive that message. My point to you is maybe you're too comfortable where you're at. Because there is a kingdom out here that God wants established in this world. And folks, I don't care who you are, if you're going to do warfare, war costs money. And God is wanting to get his people to finance the war that he's going to have against poverty, against drugs, against the unsaved. I'm saying it's time for us to step into the calling that God has for our lives. And that calling for our lives, that nobody in there should be poor. God wants everybody in there out of debt. Not that debt is wrong, but you see the heart of God concerning debt. As a matter of fact, if you want to look at how the only kind of debt that God doesn't approve of, then you need to look at, glory to God, go over to, hallelujah, go over to Proverbs chapter 28 and 8. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and 8. Look at this. He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Come on, put it up there in the New Living Translation, please. And in the other translation, it says this, glory to God. It says, income from charging high interest rates will end up in the pockets of someone who is kind to the poor. Come on over to Luke chapter 16, please. This is the right group. I know this is the right group I got here. Luke chapter 16. Folks, what I'm telling you is we've been trying to figure out how to get rich. He never intended for you to figure out how to get rich. See, if you figure it out, that means you thought of it. He wants to be the source. God wants you to say, praise God. And anyway, the You are not able to outsmart the devil without God. See, the devil knows your pattern of thinking. He can set up for you before the night falls. But if you got God telling you what to do and you got the mind of Christ, you're going to be doing stuff the devil's wanting. What is he doing? What you're doing is taking everything the devil's got. I said it. Praise God. All right, now watch this. This is Luke chapter 16. Now watch what it says here. I'll start at the beginning at verse 1. He says, and he said also to us, can y'all sit here and hear me teach for just a minute, please? I feel that rush spirit coming on again. I'm going to finish on time, whatever time that is. Praise God. Look what he says. You folks, what I'm saying is for you to rise to the top, for you to be in the top of your industry, for you to have more business than you can know how to handle, for that, that's God's plan for your life. And get this, you don't have to figure it out. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused to him unto him that he, I didn't finish my words down there, that he had wasted his goods. All right. That's all right. Thank you for being fast, though. I appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he called him and he said to him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be a steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Check it out. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him. And he said unto the first, how much do you owest thou to the Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. All right? Now, I won't go through that all of that. Let's go all the way down to verse 8. Verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, check it out. Now, the verse that I read before that verse was verse 7. So he called one of the Lord's debtors. What is a debtor? Somebody who owes what? Money. So one of the customers owed money. He said, since I'm going to be fired, let me go to that customer and make a deal. And make it so I'm going to cut his bill in half. Watch this. And he's going to owe me. Because when I get put out of this job, I can go to him and say, you owe me. Got what I'm saying? No, notice what he was becoming. He was becoming the lender. Come on, y'all. He was becoming the lender. See, God never intended for you not to be the lender. He didn't intend for the heathen to be the lender. He meant for you to be the lender. That's the wise part. Where was I before I went there, man, y'all? Okay. That's all right. I'm still happy. All right. All right. Let's look at it. Now, what's happening? Rising to the top. Okay. So here was Adam. Adam was blessed. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God made man after his image, after his likeness, so forth and so on, gave him dominion. In Genesis chapter 1, 28, and God blessed him. And God said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. Now, he's empowering him to be successful in everything that he does. All right? Now, what happens? He gives him his assignment. He goes and tells him not to eat of a certain tree. Glory to God. Look what he said in verse 15 of chapter 2. And the Lord God took the man, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely do what? Die. Now, the word knowledge there is the word diath, D-A-A-T-H. It means knowledge that comes by the senses. The day you eat of this tree, you will fall from the spirit realm to the place where all of your knowledge is going to come through your senses. So what did Adam do? Eve ate, gave it to Adam, and he did eat. What happened? The senses became now their only input. Can y'all stay here with me? Help me with this. I don't want to run. This is key right here. I'm going to finish by 11 o'clock. The senses. Before that, God talks to you. You are not flesh. You are spirit. When you leave that, your spirit, your flesh dies, your spirit will leave that body. Because your body cannot exist without your spirit, but your spirit can exist without your body. Because your spirit is you. God is a spirit, John 4:24. And he that worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when God speaks, he speaks to your spirit. If you won't follow God's plan, you're going to have to hear God. You're going to have to hear from where? On the inside. Now notice what happened. You got born again. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, everyone should boast. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, any man that is in Christ, woman too, is a new creature. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are new. So where Adam fell, Jesus came and got you back up. Once he got you back up, Ezekiel says, he puts a new spirit in you that you can now hear the voice of God again. So what you have to practice is practice God's presence. You have to practice that God is going to tell you what to do every step of the way, because he's going to take you from the bottom to the top. And I don't care where you stand in education. Now just listen at this. For what happened when man fell? Now mankind was depending on his senses to tell his soul what to do. Before God speaks to your spirit then is now illuminating your mind. Your mind then tells your body, go here, go there, do this, so that, and so forth. Once man sinned, his spirit died. And now his spirit died. The only now input that he's got is through his senses, and his senses come and illumine his mind, and then his mind begins to reason, and that's what he comes out with. Now, what's happening now? Adam now, his soul is the only thing that he's using to guide him with. And that's not good enough, because Satan is the author. Satan is the deceiver, and he's the god of the soulish realm. He is the god of this dark realm. And so when Satan comes, Lord have mercy. Come on, help me, Holy Ghost. After the fall, the body became dictated to by the soul, and now the spirit was dominated, and the man was not a spirit of your life to God, and now we have reason taking over. And even in education, notice they want to get God out of it. Notice in everything they want to get God out of it. Why? They don't want you to hear God, because if you hear God, you're going to hear what God's saying. And if you hear what God's saying and follow his voice, all his blessings gonna come on you and gonna overtake you. You are going from the bottom, come on, to the top. And I'm telling you right now, this is what happened when Jesus died and was raised from the dead. Once he got raised from the dead, your spirit man could again come alive. You've got to be born again. And when you're born again, your spirit man comes alive. And now your spirit man is is hearing God again. He's speaking right to your spirit. Your spirit is going to activate by the voice of God. And whatever God says to you, you're going to do it. And when you do, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see signs and wonders. You're going to see the supernatural. You're going to see the blessings come. You're going to see healing manifested and so forth. Don't go by your natural mind, because the devil has, this whole system has been clogged up by the devil's deception. Because now, don't trust it. If the Bible says go left, you go left. Don't go by nothing else. If the Bible says you are healed, say you are healed. And don't be ashamed to tell it. Just get up and say, by his stripes, I'm healed. You see, glory to God. God's power is so powerful. That blessing, Lord have mercy. Can I do one more? I know it's 101. So here is Job. So what happened? Here's the devil coming in on Job. And he said here, he came in on him by his kids, because he couldn't get to him any other way. Why? Because Job was an upright man. He was following the voice of God. And then Joseph, they begin to give you a financial statement of Job. Over in Job chapter 1 verse 3. How many camels he had. How many donkeys he had. The Bible ends up saying he was the richest man in the East. Well, the devil had to stop him, because he knows if he's the richest man now in the East, if he keeps going, he's going to be the richest man in the East and the West. And if he keeps going, he's going to be the richest man in the East and the West and the North. If he keeps going, he's going to inherit the whole earth. And he can't have that. He don't want it with Job, and he don't want it with you. But I got good news for you. You're going from the bottom to the top. How do I know? Because God said so. He said that if you obey him, he'll take you from the bottom to the top. So what did the devil do? The devil started bombarding Job's mind. And he began to bombard his mind there over in chapter 1 and verse 5. And he began to tell him his kids gonna do this. And God don't like his kids anymore. And so forth. True enough, his kids weren't acting quite right. But you gotta understand, that's the privilege of the head of household. The head of household can set up a wall of protection through the blessing around the whole household. Here's what the devil even said in verse 6. Have not you made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? But thou hast blessed him in the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. Normally the devil will lie, but in this case the devil told you the truth. And I'm telling you now, when that blessing is on you, can't nothing get to you. But what did Job do? He looked at what was happening in his circumstances and began to believe the circumstances more than he believed the blessing of God in the word of God. And what did he do? He began to back off. He began to change his thinking. He began to change his conversation. He began to talk about how bad it was. He began to say, oh, don't y'all go out there. You're going to get shot out there. And he shouldn't have never said that, because God didn't say that. And as an ambassador, you are not allowed to say what God didn't say. You got to say what God said, because that's a legal thing. And so what happened? His kids got killed. Everybody got wiped out. His business got stolen and so forth. Why? Because the hedge came down. God didn't pull it down. Job pulled it down. But now I find over here in Job chapter 42, Job finally came to himself. Say, come to myself. You see, God is a merciful God. He'll wait on you till you come to yourself. And everything that the devil stole, he had to bring it on back, because Job never dropped his integrity. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm telling you, you got to come to a place where God is God and nobody else. And look what he said in verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000, so forth and so on, and gave him daughters and gave him sons. And look at verse 15. And in all the land there were no women so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them their inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job how many years? 140 years, and saw his who? Sons. And who else? Sons. Even to how many? Four generations. Then Job died. Notice what happened. God gave it back to him. But this time, Job didn't fall for the okey-doke. Job didn't go for what the devil's trying to do. And because he didn't, the devil couldn't kill his sons. He couldn't kill his sons. He couldn't kill his sons. I'm telling you right now, just come to yourself. Everything the devil stole is coming back. And the devil knows that when you wake up, he can't touch nothing you got. Now give God a shout and a praise. Sit down. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. Woo, Lord, y'all have me preaching.